Well, we've certainly heard a lot about tax scams in the last few years, and we'll be talking about those scams and some other tax crimes with our next guest, Larry Mueller, here, my guest today. Brett Cresson is in the studio with me. He's the supervisory special agent for the Madison field office of the IRS. The office is responsible for investigating tax crimes in the western half of Wisconsin. We'll talk about what his division does, talk about IRS phone scams, and a new program that authorizes private agencies to collect on some IRS debts. And we'll, of course, take your questions and comments and experiences. Maybe you were targeted by a tax scammer. I want to talk about that. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Certainly, we'd love to hear from you. And Brett Cresson, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
Great to have you here. I think a lot of people are may not be aware that the IRS has a criminal investigation division right here in Wisconsin. What's the task of that?
So most people think of IRS, they think of two different sides. There's the civil side, which most taxpayers deal with. There, if you have questions, you call. But there's also a unit within IRS called criminal investigations. There's about 2,000 agents and an additional 1,000 or so professional staff who investigate criminal violations of the tax laws, tax evasions, people who are intentionally evading paying taxes. You know, we do other things, investigate public corruption, money laundering. We work with other federal agencies on large-scale narcotics trafficking, things of that nature.
Okay, so that's and as a specific special agent, what is that's what you're doing as a special agent?
Then. Yes, yeah, we are authorized law enforcement officers.
How did you get involved in this? This is kind of a, well, I don't know if fun is the right word, but it's certainly an interesting occupation.
Well, actually, I got involved was when I was in, I went to UW-Whitewater as an accounting major, and I was in the accounting fraternity, and one of the speakers one time was IRS special agent from the Milwaukee office, and I had never heard of IRS criminal investigations, and you know, I always had an interest in law enforcement, but I was getting an accounting degree, and I just thought it was a perfect set, and you know, that kind of got the ball rolling. They told us, oh, hey, we're having a job announcement in a couple weeks, you know, you should apply. You know, 3.5 years later, I got picked up. But, you know, from there, and it's, I would say you can't get a much better job than what I do. So
it sounds like a really interesting job. It's got to be a lot of variety.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You just run the gamut. We have ID theft. We have, you know, unscrupulous return preparers. Again, like you're working narcotics investigations. You work people who are embezzling, not reporting that income. So, you know, it really runs the gamut. It's, you know, we kind of, most crimes involve some sort of financial aspect. So we really touch on a lot of different types of crimes with the financial focus on the financial component.
You know, I do a show once a month with a couple of folks from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And so it's come up here just recently on one or two of their shows that the IRS is now going to be contracting with private debt collection companies. And there were, I know there were a lot of people kind of worried about it and confusion about it. And maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah. And that is a new program that we're implementing. And, you know, the thing is, it's not going to come out of the blue. When we refer things to private debt collection, it's going to be ones that we've had balances with for quite a while. We may deem them uncollectible, but we're going to notify people. If you are turned over to a debt collection agency, you're going to get a letter in the mail that says we've turned you over to debt collection AYZ. And it'll have information about that and contact numbers. So it's not one of those things where you're going to be working with the IRS one day and then the next day we're gone. I mean, there's going to be some notification provided to the taxpayer.
And the service itself will also be contacting them via mail, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and And there's probably, you know, here's where the worry comes in. Well, what if somebody calls me and I don't know there if that's the right person or the right agency that's actually doing the debt collection?
You know, again, if you do, one of the things I like to encourage people, if you do think you owe taxes, you can always contact us. You can go to our website and there's a way to verify you do. Or we have an 800 number. It's 1-800-829-1040. And they can kind of walk you through that. They're going to let you know, okay, we've turned this over to agency X, Y, and Z. Again, you should be getting contacted through the mail before they start the debt collection agency starts contacting you. So you're going to have a point of contact there. So it's not, you know, we've seen these phone scams where people are, you owe us $10,000, you got to pay us today or we're going to send the police out to arrest you.
Yeah, there's none of that. You're not going to get a phone call saying, give me the money right now over the phone.
Yes, you know, there's a lot of, yeah. You know, the thing is, there's a lot of, you know, there's a process in place for collections. And it's not, we just come and threaten you with jail and that's the end of it. You know, you have appeal rights and we work out what's called an offer and compromise with taxpayers. If it, like, look, I know I owe $100,000 in taxes, but you know, my financial situation is this and we work with you. So it's not a matter of, you know, we demand payment or, you know, the Madison Police Department's going to be out to arrest you tomorrow.
Yeah. I was thinking back, and this is goes back several years. I had a tax preparer on the show, and a guy called and said, look, I haven't paid my taxes for 10 years. I haven't filed in 10 years. What should I do? Well,
that I would get a good return preparer, and they can work with you to get caught up. And again, you know, if you start doing that, if you start adding all the interest and penalties on that, that can be quite a substantial amount. But, you know, it's better to get caught up and try to get it right because, you know, the IRS, we have kind of an area of emphasis too is non-filers. And if we start catching up to you and, you know, we'll start, the IRS can file a return for you. It's not going to be the most favorable return, but so it's obviously to your benefit to file it. But, you know, we'll work with taxpayers to, even if you're 10, 15 years past due, you know, I'd recommend, you know, get a good return preparer. They can help get everything caught up to speed and try to stay caught up from that point forward.
Oh, boy. Brett Cresson, our guest today, a supervisory special agent for the Madison Field Office of the IRS. And we're talking with him about IRS criminal investigations. We're talking about some of the scams that are going on out there. Question or comment or an experience to share, I hope you'll join us. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Can I email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. When I started that 800 number, I almost gave them your number, the one that you had given. Oh, my goodness. So I had to stop for a minute. Oh, man. Well, what other kinds of, are there other kinds of scams that are out there that are working out there right now?
Well, there's a phone scam, but another one that we've seen pop up a lot lately is the phishing scams, which can take several different forms. But one of the big ones we've seen is they target businesses. And they'll purport to be someone within the company, the controller, the CFO, someone like that, asking for, say, the W-2s of all the employees. And those are fraudsters who are looking for someone maybe within payroll to send them that information that they can use to attempt to file tax returns in those people's names. So, you know, that's one we've seen a lot of. So one of the pieces of advice I always have is if you work, say, in a payroll department at a company and you get a request, a strange request like that, you know, call that person or go to their office and make sure that's what they want, because that would be an unusual request. But again, the fraudsters have really done a good job at trying to make it look like they're posing as someone within the company. So, you know, just be vigilant. You know, another thing we've seen with return preparers, they'll try to fish return preparers posing as a potential client. And then they'll, you know, obviously the return preparer will respond back and they'll send a second email to them with a link or a document, which they'll click on and they're trying to infiltrate, say, a return preparer's computer so they can obtain, you know, taxpayers' information who are, they're preparing tax returns. So, you know, that's that's one we've really seen a lot of lately.
What has what's been the you know, there's been a, there was a flurry of incidents where there were people who were filing taxes or filing returns for people who, you know, they weren't those people. And has there been a, there was a flurry of it. I don't know if that's been cut back a bit or not.
Yeah, identity theft has been a big issue for us for the last, I would say, 5-6 years. You know, the last few years, the IRS has really gotten good at detecting those types of frauds and, you know, really clamping down on that. I believe I heard we've had about a 50% decrease in the amount of ID theft related returns over the last year. So
that's getting better.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, we've really been emphasizing that and having a lot of good prosecutions of people. I mean, it's a fairly serious matter. I mean, with ID theft, if you get convicted of ID theft, it's a mandatory minimum of 2 years plus, you know, additional time on top of that. So
John in Milwaukee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, Larry? Great show. I have two things. First of all, I have not filed for about 5 years, and I finally sent them all in, and the IRS, I have to tell you, you guys have been like super cool, really good, really great in helping me sort this whole thing out.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I, when you said that, I thought you were going to say you've been terrible and it's been the worst nightmare of my life. So I'm glad to hear that.
You guys have been actually excellent. Here's my question. I did not file a 16 tax form, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I got a letter from you guys saying someone else did in a different state with my number on it.
Oh.
Can I request a copy of that?
You can, that sounds like that could be a potential victim of ID theft. The first thing I, you know, that you're going to want to do is go to your, you're out of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Is go to the Milwaukee Police Department, and you're going to want to file a police report with them saying that. Now, you can go to IRS.gov, and there's all the steps to take.
You know what? We're going to hang on to that thought, Brett. We need to take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back, and we'll finish that answer. Thanks. Okay. Stay with us.
Okay.
Thanks so much for being with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at the IRS a little bit and the work that it does investigating tax crimes and so forth. Brett Cresson, our guest, is a supervisory special agent for the Madison field office of the IRS. They work out of the western half of Wisconsin, but of course he kind of knows what's going on across the state. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas at WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And we were answering John's question, and Angela's actually online, and her question has is very similar, I believe. So let's go there. Angela, what's on your mind?
Well, I had filed electronically with a software I've used 6 or 7 years in a row. I do a long form. Never had a problem. And this year when I submitted it, before deadline, I had gotten it rejected by the IRS. And I've tried several times. I checked the PINs and all the information, and it continued to be rejected. So called the IRS, and they said to mail in. My concern is, I don't have a printer. I haven't mailed it in. I'm hoping that I haven't committed a serious crime against the IRS. I want to get that filed. But is that indicative of a possible ID theft? Could someone have done this on my part?
Yes, and you know, we didn't get into that quite yet. But, yeah, that is definitely a big red flag that that your identity, someone could have filed a return using your identity. And we kind of talked about this with the last caller. There's a couple things that you'll need to do. If you go to irs.gov, there's an identity theft section on the homepage. But one of the other things you're going to want to do fairly quickly is file a police report, letting them know that that's gone on. There's a form. It's called a form 41039 identity theft affidavit, which is on irs.gov under the identity theft toolkit, where you can – it kind of talks about some of the process going to get your return filed, the correct return filed, then the incorrect return removed off your account. It does take a little bit of time because you do have to file a paper return and for them to sort that all out. But, you know, one of the other things you're going to want to do is let the credit reporting bureaus know that your identity could have been compromised so they can flag your account for potential new lines of credit, because, you know, obviously if they have your identity for a tax return, they could, you know, just as easily open a credit card or something else, some lines of credit in your identity without your knowledge. So, you know, I'm always, you know, it's a long process to get it.
Would restored. I have a question relating to that for Angela. Now, let's say she used TurboTax. Could she just print off what she had electronically sent and send that form, as opposed to just filling out the form all over again?
I believe, I don't know the exact mechanics of it, but I believe you have to file, because there was this other return filed, you have to file what it's called a 1040X, which is an amended return. Go to irs.gov identity theft. They'll talk about what exactly form you need to file. But yes, because there has been a return filed in your name. Our system's looking at it as there's a return filed, and the only way we accept a return is through an amended return. But because of the identity theft thing, they have to wipe off the incorrect return and restore your account. And there'll be a whole process where you get a PIN number for future tax years that you will have to input. And that's one of the filters we've put in place, because then we know for future years that your identity has been compromised. So we got to put some extra filters in place.
Yeah. And now let's say that Angela has she filled out her taxes, and she's got about $1,000 coming back. But now somebody else has filed and gotten that $1,000. Is she out the $1,000, or how does that work?
I would say likely they probably filed it for much more than that. I mean, typically we see refunds anywhere from $5,000 to $9,000 per return. No, you are still going to get your refund if you have a refund coming to you. But I'm sorry to hear about that. But you know, again, there are some steps, and we can, the IRS can help straighten that all out.
I was worried about that. I've taken a vacation day to start that process. Thank you.
And you ought to freeze your credit card.
Yeah. I've heard that before, just because,
No, I would definitely, because since you do get a free credit report, you know, you get from each of the major bureaus every year, definitely go look at those, or at least one of those, just to see what's out there. Because that, obviously, if they have the information.
Don't want to do
that. Okay, well, you know, I can't be happy about it, but that's very helpful.
But,
thank you.
Yeah, but a police report as well, you're saying.
Yes, and that's going to be part of the process. When you submit that affidavit to us, form 14039, that requires a police report to be attached with it. So,
So you need to get that first.
Yes.
Well, I will do that right away.
All right, Angela.
Thank you both, gentlemen. Appreciate the show, Larry. I learned a lot here.
thanks, Angela. Appreciate it. Man. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. What questions might you have about tax investigations? Maybe have you been the victim of a tax scam? Call in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Rose and Delavan, I think we answered it. They asked a question about what should she do if she thinks her tax return was filed by someone else. And if you're not, if I guess if you're, if it was rejected, it's likely it was a tax scam. But what if you just think it was? You haven't heard back. What do you do?
If you think you
don't really have any. You haven't gotten anything back from the IRS about it or anything.
That's kind of a tough one if you haven't heard anything from us. But like I said, we're very responsive if you start that process with us to think you've again, if you didn't file the return, someone else, if it's being rejected, I mean, if someone else did, then, that's, unfortunately, the most likely scenario as to why we're rejecting it.
I wanted to, we've got an email from Brad in in Minnesota, who emailed to say he just wanted to say he worked with the IRS a few years back on some information he neglected to file. Everybody at the IRS customer service was kind and helpful in getting it resolved. Very little hold time on the phone, if any. It bothers him when people badmouth the IRS. You're here for a good reason, the good of the country. So nice comment there.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Let's go to Annie in Harrison next. Hi, Annie. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. In regard to that lady who just called, who said somebody may be using her Social Security number. The other day, I was watching something on television, and I was just wondering, with people that use other people's Social Security number, for example, if they're, employment, but they don't have their own, isn't some of the onus up to the employer who should be screening to see where that Social Security number is coming from? Because don't those people have responsibility then to pay taxes?
Well, as far as if someone's using... an identity to work, obviously employers, it's called E-Verify, which is a system run through Department of Homeland Security that if someone gives you a Social Security number, you verify that name. Now, a lot of scammers, they take on both, that Social Security number and that name. So they may not know that someone's using a fake identity.
Wouldn't it show like the year that it was issued and like the state that it was from? So they could see, if they have a 25-year-old person using a Social Security number in Arizona, that it wasn't some 78-year-old woman in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. All they will say is, when they do the verification, is, yeah, that Social Security number matches that person's name. It's not necessarily the age or location.
Yeah. So there is an obligation on the part of the, if you're working for somebody, they have a kind of they do have an obligation to keep your information private. I was thinking sort of along a different line there. Does that happen very often, that companies are hacked?
And that's another thing we've seen a lot of. If, you get a company will get hacked, larger companies, and all that data is compromised. Again, one of the things that the IRS has been doing is trying to make it easier for. So if they notify us, the IRS, that they have a data breach at their company, we can flag all those accounts then. And that really helps cut down on the fraud, because if there's really we look at those closer, so we can kick out those returns if they don't look legitimate. We kind of give them a closer one over.
That makes a lot of sense. Rob in Milton is up next. Rob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. See, when I tried to file my return electronically, it was rejected because they said my son had claimed himself on his return, so I couldn't claim him on mine. And I do his taxes for him, so I know that isn't true. I'm concerned about, although he did get his refund and he got the correct amount. So I'm just concerned. I mailed my return in.
Okay.
I'm just concerned what's going to happen to it down the road.
Hmm. So you're saying he filed his own return, or you filed his return for him?
Yeah, I help him fill it out and he sends it in. And so I know that he didn't claim himself.
Okay. You know, I don't get into all the specifics here, but I think at some point with income thresholds, I'm not quite well-versed in all of that, they may not allow you to claim him as a dependent because one of the requirements is providing support for the year, and so that might be why they're kicking it out because of the amount of...
Well, he was claiming himself.
Yeah, he's a 20-year-old college student, and I pay the bills there too, so...
Yeah, so it may just have been, that could have been just a glitch
in this. And you said you've mailed in a paper return?
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously, how long ago was that?
Several weeks ago now.
Okay, so when it gets to the service center and they process it, they may have questions, and then you can probably clear some of that up because they will look at it there. And that's why we do tell people to mail in those paper returns sometimes like that.
Yeah. So if he called the service center, would he get a and say, hey, can you look this up? Would he get that? Might be.
Yeah, that wouldn't be another possibility. You could. We had that number, that 800 number. That'll probably
829-1040.
Yes.
That one?
Yeah. 800-829-1040. That they'll probably steer you in the right direction as far as where to go, you know, explaining that.
Okay, so that
I'll probably get a letter in the mail, but they couldn't tell me anything about my son's return because it's his return.
Turn. Yes.
So my son called, and they said that on the electronic system, it shows that he filed his own deduction. And he said, well, he didn't. And so they said, well, he would have to file a 1040X to get that fixed. And the 1040X doesn't even, I read it over, and it doesn't even have a space for the 1040EZ information on it. It's, you know, it's for the 1040 or the 1040A or whatever it is, and not the...
Not the other one.
Yeah, because the 1040X, I guess thinking about if you've talked to him already, that would be... Because the EZ is just an abbreviated 1040, so that may be the best option is to file the 1040X for him and take that off. Because really all you're doing is he's not claiming himself as a dependent... you know, claiming himself on his return.
Yeah, but now Rob is saying that there's not a spot for it on the X.
On the X? Yeah, because I guess there's not a change to income. I'd like to help you out a little bit more on that, but I mean, they will, I would suspect that someone from the service center, because they're going to get that return that you filed, they're going to probably reach out to you. And they may be able to help you out, but so you said you called and they you're like your son wasn't able to get them to file an amended return like or get that corrected over the phone.
No, they said they couldn't fix it for him over the phone, and he said, you know, you needed to talk to a manager then, and they didn't call him back. So, you know, we're just kind of like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm concerned that my refund's going to be held up for a week because of it.
You know, the other advice, I don't know, you're out of Milton. There's IRS offices in Milwaukee and I believe Waukesha and up in Madison. They set up an appointment. It may be one of those things, you know, I hate to, you know, I mean, you may have to take a half day off of work or something to go up there, but set up an appointment and, you know, you and your son maybe sit down with them and sometimes face to face, they can help correct some of that stuff right there on the spot.
Yeah, that might be what you have to do. Or, you know, you wait and find out whether your own return comes back. Man. So good as advice as we can give right now, Rob. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Gene in Green Bay a chance to join us. Gene, hello.
Hello. Kind of a complicated one. A year ago, March, my company compromised my personal information. The company's recommendation and some friends, I sent in a form last January informing the IRS of this potential problem. A week later, I got a letter from the IRS saying that they had never received my forms and that they had a certain amount of money sitting, waiting for me to tell them what I wanted to do with it. That amount was the amount that my wife and I owed for our taxes. I went back and checked. The check had been cashed, supposedly by the IRS, and it was the same amount that the IRS informed me that they had sitting in an account. And what did I want them to do with it?
Uh-huh.
At the end of March, I sent them a letter saying, you know, hey, this is the amount that I owed for tax. Before I send you new forms, I want to know what happened to the old forms and what, you know, is going on with this. And I have not heard anything back from them.
Hmm.
This would be another good one. We just talked about going to the taxpayer assistance office, and I believe they have one in Green Bay. They're going to be able to help you out with that. And if you have copies of, do you still have copies of your forms you sent in? That would be perfect. And then you could bring those in with you, and they should be able to get that resolved in the office there.
Probably right on the spot.
Yeah. And again, they set up through appointments. So you can set up an appointment so you can go in there, and they should be able to kind of help clear all of that up.
Okay. Good luck. Thank you so much, Gene, for calling. Deborah in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
So I think there's a form called a 4506T, and it allows you to give authorization for a transcript of your returns from the IRS. So I was thinking, for those people who don't know but suspect that someone else has filed a fraudulent return, they might be able to get a copy of it with that form.
Of the fraudulent form, you're saying?
Right. Then they'll know, okay, I need to go to the police and make a report and do all those things.
Well, that form, Deborah, that form is for, say, a mortgage company or someone that wants to helps crack down on and things like mortgage fraud, that people aren't bringing false tax returns and they verify it. There is a way, if you go to irs.gov, it's a get transcripts feature on the website, so you don't even have to go to the office. You don't have to do a form. You set up an account through the IRS, and then you can get transcript information on, I don't know if there's a limit on the number of years, but I would assume going back at least several years. So that would be, you know, a possibility. You could pull those.
Anybody could do that then?
Yes, and set up an account there to get transcript information on their personal account. What she was talking about is more to authorize third-party people to come to the IRS to get transcripts of your account.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you need? Probably your tax. Well, you need your Social Security number, I suppose.
Social Security number, probably, I would assume, date of birth, as well as, it's the amount due or owe from last year's tax return. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, the 2015 return, whatever amount you were, you know, if you got a refund or if you owed, they're going to ask for that information in there.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Deborah, for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, here we are down to about a minute to go. Let's just go back and review. One of the things I wanted to ask was about summer jobs. And, you know, what if an employer offers to pay you cash?
That's generally not a good idea. It may seem like a good idea at the time, but generally that's not a good idea. Because one of the things is when you have a paycheck, you get Social Security and Medicare taxes taken out of that. And if you're looking at, you know, your Social Security benefit down the line is based on how many credits you've earned and the amount of wages. So if it's not on there, if you're getting paid, employers offering to pay you under the table, you're not going to get credit for that. Plus, if, say, the IRS catches up to the employer, they're going to find out, okay, these people are all paid in cash, and you could owe the back taxes, the income taxes on that, as well as the Social Security taxes. So,
not a good thing.
Yeah, no, that can get expensive quickly.
Well, Brett, this has been a lot of fun and interesting. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
Brett Cresson is the supervisory special agent for the Madison Field Office of the IRS. They are responsible for investigating tax crimes in the western half of Wisconsin. Boy, there's always something, isn't there, coming up with this? And I was glad to have him here to straighten out the kinds of questions that we all have when it comes to tax fraud. So thanks to him, and thank you for listening, and please do stay with us. We got a Garden Talk show tomorrow, but hey, there's lots more in store here on The Ideas right now.